earth, and sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. This spring, people across North America will take part in a nature walk for science. It's called Project Budburst, and it's open to anyone who wants to join in. You participate by looking for specific blooms and leaves that are easily found in your neighborhoods or local parks. Then, via the internet, you tell scientists what you've found. Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke with Carol Brewer, professor of biological sciences at the University of Montana, about how to get involved in Project Budburst.
Dr. Brewer, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Thanks very much.
So, to start with, could you tell me a little bit about Project Budburst? What is going on here? What is it?
Well, Project Budburst is a campaign of the National Phenology Network to document the timing of when plants put out their leaves and flowers. The study of the timing of events in the life cycles of plants and animals is called phenology. So this project is about the phenology of about 30 native trees and shrubs, 24 native wildflower species, and two common weeds, and a couple of exotic ornamentals.
Why are scientists interested in phenology?
Phenology is really nature's clock. In fact, we like to say phenology is nature's clock. Watch it and use it. And this information is interesting because we need to know when plants bloom, when their fruits are ready, and when they go dormant. For example, for centuries, farmers, naturalists, and scientists have kept pretty careful records on the phenology patterns of plants and animals. And in fact, many farmers have used their phenology knowledge to predict the best time for planting crops, when to expect problems with insect pests, and when their crops of fruits would be ready to harvest. So when we have these data collected for many years in a row, they can reveal hints about how variations in weather patterns affect plants and animals in our environment. And when we have data for many years, we can look for signals of climate change in the timing of the phenological events in these organisms.
I'd like to hear more about Project Budburst. When is it happening? Who's involved here?
Okay, well, the official campaign dates are April through June, and the participants, we hope, will be people who enjoy taking walks and looking at plants. This could include families, garden clubs and botanical gardens, Girl and Boy Scout troops, teachers and their students, anyone who enjoys taking walks and observing nature.
How long has this project been going on, and can you give me an idea of how many people have participated?
Well, this is the first year of Project Budburst. This year, the National Science Foundation funded a project to bring people interested in the science of phenology together in a national phenology network. And the idea was that we could all share our data and make plans for future research and collaboration. Now, from this network, Project Budburst was born. So Budburst was designed by plant researchers and educators from universities, botanical gardens, government agencies, and research institutes. And our hope is to monitor phenology across a very broad geographical range. So this is the first year of the Budburst campaign, and we hope people will make and submit their observations this year and for many years to come.
How does it work? What do I do to be able to participate in this scientific study?
The first step is to log on to the Project Budburst website at www.budburst.org. And on that website, participants are going to find the list of species that we would like them to monitor in their region. Along with the list, participants are going to find descriptions and photos of the plants to help them in identification. And importantly, they're going to find the scientific protocols for collecting data. Once people have taken a look at that information and made a list of the species in their region, then they just need to go out on a walk and look for the plants in their neighborhood, in local parks and natural areas, and make the requested observations. These observations include when leaves and flowers first start to come out and the progression of flowering. After the walk, all you need to do is go back to the website and enter the data that were collected. So between April and June, participants will continue to enter their data as the plants they are observing fully leaf out and flower. It's pretty much as simple as that.
Could you tell me a little bit about some of these leaves and flowers that people are looking for? Why did scientists choose these particular ones? What's it all mean?
The species that were chosen this year were chosen because they're broadly distributed across North America. We've got species that people can find anywhere they live. And they were chosen because they're easy to identify and people would likely see them on walks. And we chose these species amongst the hundreds we could have selected to make the species accessible to people and to students and to make sure that they could see them without having to go backpacking, for example. These common plants in our environment really can give us important information related to when species are active. And over time, looking at patterns of flowering and leaf out over many years can help us understand something about how phenology might be changing as a result of changes in weather and climate.
I can tell just from here in Austin, Texas, that it looks like we're pretty much already in full-time in spring right now, and not even April 1st yet. So what you're saying is we don't have to catch this at the very beginning of spring in order to make a contribution?
No. People can go out and make an observation of what's happening with the species in their neighborhoods and local parks on the day they go out and take the walk. While some species might be already fully leafed out and ready to flower, in Austin, Texas, I can tell you that sitting here looking out my window in Missoula, Montana, we definitely are still waiting for spring to arrive. So being able to compare the timing of when species bloom and burst their buds in Austin, Texas, with those in Montana and New York and California and Iowa really helps scientists understand the timing of these events over broad geographical areas.
What happens after I have that beautiful walk outside and I record my observations and I go to the internet and tell Project Budburst website about it? What happens to all that information?
As people are entering their data, we'll be collecting those bits of information in a large database. And over time, as the information comes in, the Project Budburst leaders will be summarizing and mapping that information. At the end of the campaign, in late June or early July, all participants will get an email asking them to go look back on the Budburst website, and they'll be able to look at maps that depict the timing of leafing and flowering for all the species we monitored, including their own.
Now, is this something that would work well with teachers?
Well, I think Budburst is an ideal project for teachers and their students. In fact, students of all ages, from elementary school through elder hostel, really, anyone can make a contribution. Especially for teachers and their students, they are going to learn that the outdoors, including their schoolyards and local neighborhoods, are ideal ecological laboratories to understand patterns in nature. And in fact, to understand patterns in nature, you really have to go outside. So through Project Budburst this spring, we really hope that no child will be left indoors.
Why do we need ordinary people to participate in this scientific project?
That's a really great question. As it turns out, that many questions related to how plants and animals will respond to changes in their environment, including climate change, require observations across vast geographical areas and over really long time periods. The ecologists, the scientists who are working on answering questions about how plants and animals respond to their environment, cannot possibly visit every place these species live. So we truly need the help from people across the nation and the world, really a cadre of citizen scientists, to have lots of eyes on the landscape. So citizen scientists are really key partners in getting out and looking at what's going on with plants and animals in their neighborhood. And as we learn about all the different neighborhoods around the country, we start to get a picture of how environmental changes affect the species that live with us on this planet.
What are some of the questions that scientists are trying to answer in this project, in Project Budburst?
one of the questions that scientists are working on now is to determine if climate change has influenced the phenology of plants and animals. And to answer this question, we need to make observations over many years. Observations that are made over just 1 or 2 or even 5 years don't provide enough information to answer the question if climate change is influencing phenology, for example. So we need data from many years to sort out the influence of year-to-year variation in weather from the influence of, for example, a warming Earth. So that's why getting programs like Budburst started is so important. There are lots of places in the world where there are long records of the timing of leafing out and flowering of plants. And in fact, one of these long data sets is for lilacs of North America. People started making observations on lilacs in the 1960s. Citizens interested in making observations about the timing of flowering have contributed data about lilacs for more than 40 years now. And in fact, this data set has been very important in looking for correlations between changes in phenology and climate change. So from this data set and other data sets around the world, researchers are noting that flowers seem to be opening an average of maybe 3 to 6 or 7 days earlier than in previous decades. And this kind of information can provide one clear line of evidence about global warming and answering a question like, is global climate change influencing the phenology of plants?
Could you maybe walk us through some of these connections here? Why, as I'm taking my walk and looking and observing leaves and observing flowers, why is that telling me anything about climate?
Going out on walks and observing when plants are bursting their buds and flowering is important information for a lot of reasons. If you think about what is happening with a plant over time, most species have evolved to either arrive or become active at just the right time of year. Those plant species that burst their buds too early in a place like Montana, for example, will freeze to death or die back. And if they get flowering too late, they may not have enough time to actually produce viable seeds. So the timing of when these events happen is really important in the life of a particular plant. Now, when we make observations year to year and observe these patterns over long time periods, we can look for long-term changes in weather and climate that might be influencing the timing of when plants become active.
Well, Dr. Brewer, I believe that there are quite a few organizations who are involved in this. You mentioned universities and federal institutions in this project, Project Budburst. This is the first year of the project.
Well, this is the first year of the Project Budburst campaign, and our intention is for this project to go on for many years into the future. There are other examples of campaigns like this where citizens are really important participants in collecting data. One that comes to mind is the Christmas bird count that's been going on for, I think, more than 100 years. So if all goes well, we certainly hope that 100 years from now, people can look back on the first data that were collected about the onset of spring in 2007. We hope that this will be a long-term monitoring campaign that people can work on today and their children and grandchildren can work on in the future.
And just to close, I mean, would you like to talk about some of the people, some of the institutions that are involved?
There's been a number of institutions involved. These include the University of Montana, the Chicago Botanic Garden, Plant Conservation Alliance, the National Science Foundation, National Phenology Network, National Ecological Observatory Network, UCAR, Office of Education and Outreach, the University of Arizona, of California at Santa Barbara, University of Wisconsin, the Bureau of Land Management, among many others.
That was biologist Carol Brewer speaking with Jorge Salazar about Project Budburst, a citizen science campaign to record the signs of spring. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.